All right, let's open with prayer as we get ready for our Bible study tonight. Father, we come before you tonight, Lord, and we just pause for a moment. Father, we pause in humility before you, understanding that you are a great God. And that, Father, the only way that we can even come into your presence is by your invitation and through faith and salvation from your Son, which stems from your grace and your mercy for us. Lord, tonight I just pray that you would speak to us as we begin to get into our study of Joshua. That, Father, you would help us to see, Lord, your faithfulness, and Lord, who you are. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want to begin tonight by asking you a question and then giving you a moment to think about this. Has there ever been a time in your life that someone close to you died? Maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, maybe a child, maybe a sibling. And I'm sure that this caused a disruption in your life, caused a disruption in your routine. And if it's anything like mine, which are all of ours are unique, it was probably a devastating time in your life that you can remember. There are two questions that most likely surfaced in your mind. Where do I go from here? And what do I do now? At this time in our lives, we come to a crisis and we must make a decision. And that's exactly where Joshua and the Israelite people were in the book of Joshua, where we're going to be looking today. If you would take your Bibles and open to the book of Joshua, it's the sixth book. You have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 is where we're going to be looking at today. Today we're going to be able to see that God works in God's timing, his calling, and his equipping of people to do his work. Would you stand with me as we read from Joshua chapter 1, if you would follow along? And remember that our study of Joshua, that key word there is we're looking at the faithfulness of God. Beginning in verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Father God, I just pray now, Lord, that you would open our minds, Father, and our eyes, that we can hear from you, that Holy Spirit will speak to you and convict us of the truth of your word. Father, may we grow tonight in our faith as we see that you are faithful to your word. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. You can take the little sheet there on Moses, and when you're at home, take some time, look through that, and fill that out, and give you a few points there on it. What's the early childhood? What do you know about the early childhood of Moses? He went for a ride in a basket. He was born at a time they were trying to keep the Hebrew people from rising to power, and the midwives refused. So early Moses' early childhood, he was put into a boat, sent off, found by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter took him in to be her own. So now here you have the Hebrew boy that's trying to be gotten rid of is now being raised in the palace of the one trying to get rid of him. But even more than that, we see the faithfulness and the providence of God that he's so young that he needs someone to nurse him and to raise him. But who else? His own mother. And then we know that he came and was angry when he saw them mistreating his fellow people. He killed one, took off running into the wilderness, spent some time out there, found a wife. Heard the burning, was there when the burning bush happened, and then he was called back to lead the people out of Exodus, out of Egypt, what we call the Exodus. And then in his older life, he led the stubborn people, I'm going to call them the Hebrew people, for 40 years through the wilderness. God called him to lead them, and he gets to his ripe old age. And he's taken up on the mountain, allowed to see the promised land, and then dies there, and God takes care of him. That's kind of where we're picking up today, is with Joshua. And I think there's a little sheet there, and you might just jot down some things as we go along and refer back to that. But what we have to understand is Joshua was now the leader of the Israelites, God's people, the Hebrews, the nation of Israel, all the different names that it refers to. But what I want us to see as we study, it's a little different than just me preaching, but as we study and see this, I want us to look at the calling of Joshua. There was a calling on Joshua's life. Now remember where the people are at. Moses has died. And now God is calling Joshua. When did this happen? Happened after the death of Moses. But look at verse 1 and verse 2. It says, now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Tell him to now. We see that word twice. It's an immediate action. But we know that God doesn't leave us where we are. Amen? But he moves us. But we see here that this happened at a particular time. Flip over in your Bible, maybe a page or so, to Deuteronomy 34, and listen to these verses 5 through 8. So Moses, a servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no man knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eyes were not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses came to an end. Over 500 years, the promise was given to Abraham that his line would inherit this land of Canaan. And now we see that there's a proper time that God has set up, and God has called Joshua to now lead the people. But notice, they're at a crisis. The one that they have known that led them in the wilderness for 40 years, the one that came and spoke to them on behalf of God, the one that they have seen God doing all the work through, has died. And he's no longer there. But notice something I think that is important. They mourn for Moses for 30 days. It is, I believe, proper and appropriate to have a period of mourning. When we lose someone close to us, where we might have comfort knowing where they're at, there is still a sadness inside because of the separation. And I believe God gives us a time for mourning, but then I believe God calls us to go forward. Now listen to me close. I do not believe God ever calls us to forget. I don't believe God calls us to get over it. God calls us to move forward. Just as Joshua, who had been a servant of Moses, and all of the people have now grieved, and God says, now's the time to move forward. The promise is now being initiated into their inheritance. And you know what I'm so glad of at times and sometimes terrified of is God uses people to accomplish his plans. You know, God could have said, I'm going to give you the inheritance, and they could have never done anything. They had to be obedient to go in there. We saw 40 years earlier, God said, go in and take it. They were disobedient, and instead they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Now God has brought them there, but I believe we see here, it says, now it came about. Moses, we see in verse 2, where God begins to speak. We have recorded words, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people. God got Joshua's attention. And I believe he got his attention very quickly through the death of Moses, because God had already appointed him to be a successor to Moses. And now, as we might say it today, the plate's been dropped in Joshua's lap. God got his attention at the death of Moses, but guess what? The great news, the faithfulness of God, is he didn't leave him on that side of the Jordan River. He called him for a purpose. He had a unique purpose. He didn't leave Israel on that side of the Jordan. He moved them into Canaan. He moved them into the promised land. When God gets our attention and we follow him, great things happen when we begin to be guided by him. Great things happen in our lives, just like great things happened in the life of Joshua. Once we're guided by him and our lives begin to change, we discover following his leadership always brings us the treasured blessing of hopefulness, contentment, and direction for our lives. When we choose to follow him, when we allow him to guide us. You know, it was sometime back, a few weeks back, and I didn't write this in my notes here, but a few weeks back, I was praying and I was thinking about guiding and leading. There's oftentimes I ask God to guide me and God to lead me. I said, is there really a difference? Because I use them together. So I began to look them up, and you know, there is a difference. Lead means someone takes you there. We're going from here to there. Whereas guide means they're kind of directing you. They're not necessarily getting you there, but they're directing you. And you see, God wants to at times lead us, but when we allow him to guide our path, we begin to see that his treasures, his blessings come together. And guess what? God's faithfulness, I'm here to tell you today, he has a purpose and he has a direction for each of us that's unique. If he no longer had a purpose or a direction for us, he would take us on out of this place. And we're looking forward to that day. But we see that God accomplishes his work through people. God was faithful to his word. Look at verse 2 and verse 3 again. I want you to listen to a key word, and I'll say it a little bit louder so that you can pick up on it. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Who's doing the work? Who's doing the work? God. We see all throughout here the Israelite nation was never big enough to accomplish this God-sized task. But what do we hear with the timing of God right here? He says, I am giving. It's a process. They're going to have to be obedient, and they're going to have to step in and take possession of what God is giving them. But what I love more is look at verse 3. We begin to see the power and the knowledge of God. He said, I have given it to you. God already gave them the land. Even before time was created, God knew that was going to be their land. Over 500 years ago, he's promised it to Abraham. He's already given it to them. They've got to go in and take possession, and then it will become theirs. We see that God is doing the work, and he's doing it in his timing. Do you know God has called Joshua to a big task? Don't know if God's ever called you to a big task. I believe living the life of a Christian is a big task. It's a God-sized project. But we're learning through Joshua that he's faithful. And God is faithful in this passage to prepare Joshua. How did he prepare him? God placed Joshua under Moses. Moses was a mentor to Joshua. If you go back to Exodus 24:13, we see, so Moses arose with Joshua his servant. In Exodus 33:11, again, we see that Joshua is called Moses' servant. God prepares us. I believe God puts people in our lives to help us. Now, it takes obedience on both parts. Sometimes we don't realize that God is preparing us. But Moses was a mentor to Joshua. What are some things that we see and know that Moses did? Moses gave insight to Joshua into God and his ways. We read in Scripture where Moses was teaching Joshua the law. Moses was helping him to understand how God worked. Moses also lived out this faith and calling before Joshua. This is something a mentor needs to do. We need to teach people about God's word. We need to give them insight. We need to live it out before them. But guess what? Moses didn't keep Joshua to himself. He sent him out. As he matured, he sent him out. Numbers 27, we see where Moses commissioned Joshua to be the new leader before all the people. But if you have a mentor, you have to have a mentee, is what we would call it. Joshua come along underneath Moses, allowed himself to be one that was taught. What did Joshua do? There's a responsibility that we have. Joshua observed. He observed Moses and how Moses and God shared an intimate relationship. Part of being taught or prepared is we have to observe what's going on. Joshua probably listened in as the Lord and Moses spoke. We hear about Joshua being in the tent with Moses and he wouldn't leave. Can you imagine what he's learning as he's there in this tent or beside this tent and Moses and God are talking like friends? There's a communication. And what is he doing? He's listening. He's being spoken. He's hearing it. Joshua also learned by watching what Moses did. So we have to learn through watching as well. Through this, Joshua knew that he could trust and obey God because he was mentored by Moses. And that's a big thing, because he's fixing to have to step out, lead these Hebrew people that oftentimes are just stubborn. Not only that, he's leading this big group of people after the loss of their friend into an unknown territory that's filled with giants and all kinds of things, but he was there. See, Joshua, I imagine, was a little nervous. But when he had heard from the Lord, Joshua heard the Lord say that it was time to move on. It's time to move forward. Joshua heard from the Lord his confirmation of his plan for his people. Verses 3 and 4. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. Take your map there. Your colored map. I made the colored one for you. The black and white one came from the study book, but I didn't like it. I was thinking I had mine here. If you'll notice on one of those maps, the front shows you the 12 tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel that was given. Did I have any more of those left? Oh, here it is. Okay, there we go. You'll see there the 12 tribes, Judah, Simeon, Reuben, Gad, and kind of working Dan, Benjamin, all the different little colors there are the different tribes. If you count them up, you will find that there are 13. But how many tribes of Israel were there? There were 12. Why is there 13? If you remember when the Israelites came to the Jordan River, that Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh asked to remain on that side. Moses agreed with the one condition that the men would go over when they went in and they would fight until all of the territory is covered. So you will actually see two areas of Manasseh. You see on the right side of your page the blue, the green, and the purple. That's all on the other side of the Jordan before they crossed over. And if you'll look, just to give you an idea where we're at, kind of toward the bottom, you see the Dead Sea. And just above that, you see the word Jericho. That's where they're fixing to cross over. When they left, now you can turn on the back here real quick. I'm going to show you right over here. Remember, they were in bondage in Egypt over here. So they've made their way over and around. So back on this side, they're on the right side of the Jordan. They're getting ready to cross over into Jericho and begin taking that. You're going to keep all this with you, bring it back, because we're going to refer to these as we move along. But to give you an idea of where we're at. But Joshua heard in verse 5, very key. Says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Joshua heard that God would be with him. How do we move forward after a crisis? How do we move forward as Christians and live the Christian life we have? We know that God is faithful and he says that he will be with us. Can you imagine the relief that Joshua must have felt knowing that God was going to be with him? It wasn't going to be on his own power. It wasn't going to be on his own mind or on his own abilities. Joshua saw the relationship that Moses had with God and all the work God did through Moses. God promised Joshua that he would not fail him nor forsake him. Joshua heard God tell him, "You will not be alone." The faithfulness of God. We will not be alone. He will be with us all the time. We are able to follow through with him. Not only do we see in this first chapter the call of Joshua, but I believe it's very important that we look at the equipping of Joshua. God didn't call Joshua and say, "Okay, go lead my people, have at it." Just like God doesn't call us and say, "As a believer, I've called you to live a Christian life and I have a mission for you. Go out there and just go do it." It's not who God is. God is faithful to be with us. And when God is asking us to do something, live the Christian life, or do a particular thing in life, he is going to equip us just as he equipped Joshua. Before God sent Joshua into action, he equipped and challenged him to nourish his mental, emotional, and spiritual strength. I want us to look at verses 6 through 9. I'm going to read them. You follow along. But I want you to see if you find anything that repeats. Beginning in verse 6. "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." And go over to verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Did you hear anything repeated in there? How many times did you hear it repeated? Three times. Let me tell you what, when God says something once, it's important. When God says something twice, it's really important. And we need to pay attention if God says it three times. Imagine when your mother used to tell you, or your father would call you. I remember my Richard, first time and one thing. Richard! Boy, third time, boy, you come running. But we see here this trinity, this three times being done. I want you to read those words with me, just the repetitive phrase. Verse 6, read it with me. "Be strong and courageous." We're reading out loud. Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." And verse 9, "Be strong and courageous." God has repeated it three times. And I believe that we see each of those as an encouragement for Joshua to be encouraged and to be strengthened, as I said, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Let me tell you, if we're going to get through life, if we're going to live the Christian life that we're called to live, we have to be strengthened mentally. It's a battle out there. We have to be strengthened emotionally. A lot that goes on, and more than all, I believe we have to be strengthened spiritually. Verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession to the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." We see him getting nourishment here mentally because God told him, "You shall," not "you might," not "it could happen," "but you shall give this people possession of the land I swore to their fathers to give them." Imagine the weight that is on Joshua getting ready to lead God's people over into the promised land. You take account of the number of the army men versus the number of men they're fixing to attack. Mentally, I'm not on game with this. It doesn't match up. Mentally, we remember them talking about giants over there. All of this mental, imagine what's going on, the warfare that Satan is playing in his mind mentally. You've never led anybody before. What makes you think you can do this? How are you going to do this? Well, guess what? Get the you out of it. God is encouraging mentally. He said, you are going to do this. You shall take them in. You shall give them the possession of it. God's telling him it's going to happen. I've already done it. Prepare your mind, Joshua. Remember my faithfulness and be ready to do what I've already told you has already happened. But he also, the second time, told him to be very strong and courageous. We see that Joshua's emotional side was nourished. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success where you go. Imagine his emotional state. His friend, his mentor, his leader, his dad, plus God is asking Joshua to do this God-sized project. He's telling him to be strong, to be very courageous. Tells him to be careful. To be careful to follow my word. He's hitting to the emotional side here. Be strong. Be very courageous. Be careful to do the law. And it says here on his emotional side, you can imagine if God's asking me to do something, I hope you're the same way. I hope I can accomplish what God asked me to do. My faith knows that I can. And that's what he's reminding him here on the emotional side. He says, you do this in the end of verse 7 so that you may have success wherever you go. Joshua, you're fixing to lead my people over. I know you're grieving, but you are going to do this. And not only that, you're going to have success. And thirdly, we see that God told him over in verse 9 to be strong and courageous. He's dealing with his spiritual nourishment. It says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He needed spiritual nourishment. Let me tell you, our spirits need nourishing every day. And we get that through the power and the presence of Holy Spirit. And God has put Holy Spirit upon him for this task. The Lord is saying, I'm going to be with you wherever I go. The words strong and courageous are both what we call imperatives, or they're a command. We must confess our weakness to God and realize in our strength that we can be found, that our strength can be found in God alone. Just jot this somewhere in your note. Let me just turn to it real quick. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Paul was writing, and he said to me, requoting Jesus' words, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We need to understand, to be strong and courageous, we've got to admit our weakness and look to the only one who can provide that strength. What does it mean to be courageous? Dr. Robert Smith said this about being courageous. Believers recognize their own fear and ineptitude and find boldness in God alone. Being courageous, we realize that we have fear. How many of you have fear? Amen. We have fear. God tells us not to fear, but if we're honest, at times in our life, there's fear, and we realize that we're not equipped, we're not capable to do this Christian life. We can't do it on our own. So we turn to Him. And we must have exclusive focus for our strength and courage. I'll ask you, and you can say this out loud, where does your strength and courage come from? Come on, a little louder. God. We've got to focus on Him. We've got to understand that our strength and our courage comes from Him and Him only. Verse 7 says that God told him that it was in his obedience to Him. God knew that Joshua's sole source success in war was his words. Look at verse 7 there toward the end. It says, "Be careful to do according to what? All the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Church, if we want success in the Christian life, we do all of God's word. We don't turn from it. We don't deviate. Let me tell you what. God has a perfect plan. His word is perfect. He doesn't need my help. And if I deviate from his word, I'm trying to do it on my own, and I'm not going to have success, and nor will you. How in the world was Joshua able to have this courage and the being strong? Verse 8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is in it and written in it. For then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will find success." How is it that we can live according to God's law? How is it that we can live not going left or right? We have to meditate on it. I can tell you all day long that this is God's word. This is God's law. It tells us there is no situation in life that's not handled in this book. It might not spell exactly word for word, but every situation is covered in here. And this is the law. This is our rule book. How are we going to do it? You have to get in it. You have to look at it. You have to meditate. You have to move it into your mind. Kind of reminds me of this idea of meditation, the best way to describe it, because I'm not telling you to get in the floor, cross your legs and your arms, and go, and just zone out. That's not the meditation we're talking about. We're talking about meditation, a focus on God's word, to remember it. Think of it this way. We have cows all around here. Many of you are aware of cows. Cow does what? He's going to lean over. He's going to chew that grass. He's going to bring it in. He's going to chew on it for a while. And what? He swallows it down. And in a little bit, what's he going to do? He brings it back up. He chews it some more. It goes back down. And he does this several times. Why is that? Because every time he brings it up, he's getting all of the nourishment out of that grass. We have to meditate on God's word. We have to let it come to mind. We hear it and bring it back and process it and constantly back and forth so we can get all out of it that there is. Obeying God's law shows that we love Him and that He's in us. Scripture tells us over in the New Testament, Jesus says that our followers will obey Him, that they show the love of God by being obedient to God. In verse 9, we see those great words, "God is with you wherever you go." God is with us. Church, look at me right here. I want all of you to look at me real quick. God is with you as a believer everywhere you go. He's always there. So how do we move on in life when we experience pain and uncertainty? Whether it's through death or it's through news or whatever it may be. First of all, I believe we have to realize there is a time for mourning. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mourning, a time for grief. I found this interesting in reading. It says that God wants to take our mourning and turn it into mourning of the daytime. And it said, you know what the difference in the spelling of those two words are? One letter, and that's you. We mourn, but in God, He wants to make it a new day. He wants to take us forward. Also, we need to realize that God calls us to go forward. God never calls a believer to sit on the pew and to do nothing else. He saves us for a purpose. And in life, through crisis, we come and we have to decide to move on. But we have to realize that God calls us to go forward. And we must have others in our lives to help us, and we must allow ourselves to learn from others. Part of that's easy. Part of that's not so easy. I believe all of us would say we need someone to mentor us. But it's not as easy to allow myself to learn from them. And we must realize and understand that God equips us for his work. When God calls us, he's going to equip us. To be able to move forward, we're to be strong and courageous. How can we do that? I'm going to give you just a few things in closing. We must confess our weakness to God and call on him for strength. We must acknowledge our fears and inabilities. That's a hard one to do. We don't want to acknowledge that we have a fear. We don't want to acknowledge that we're unable, but we need to do that. We must confess and rely on God to work in us. We must be obedient to his word. And we must believe and have faith that God's with you wherever you go. This is his promise. Church, God is faithful. May you bow your heads. Father God, thank you for your love. Father, thank you that you're faithful. Father, all through your word, we hear about your faithfulness. But here in Joshua, Lord, we're seeing you be faithful. We're seeing you move us on, move them on to fulfill your purpose and your plan. God, when you call us to action, Lord, you call us to a God-sized project so that we can be faithful to you, that we can see your faithfulness as you work through us. And Lord, others can see your faithfulness. Thank you for your promise that you are with us, that we can be strong, and that we can be courageous. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.